Well, hey, this morning, since I'm preaching, we're going to go to Galatians. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Go ahead and turn there with me in your Bibles. This morning, we're talking about the liberty of love. And we've been in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. And as you read there in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse number 13, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Now, last week we talked about using our liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, and we talked about going backwards into carnality, the steps back into carnality, if you remember that. Verse 14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 15 is kind of where we're going to camp today. And it says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Now, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jim said about verse 14 that he wished he could have passed it off to me. And I knew I was going to be preaching on verse 15, and I wished I could have passed it off to him. I would have much rather preached verse 14. But the Lord knows what we need, and the Lord knows what he wants to speak to us today. So let's take a look at it again there. And it says that in verse number 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another." Now remember, the Galatian church had gotten off faith. They were going strong at one time. They were believing God for their salvation. They were living in unity and oneness. And now all of a sudden, people had come in and started teaching another gospel, started saying that they had to hold to the law. And so they got off faith. I like what Martin Luther says about this. He says, "When faith in Christ is overthrown, peace and unity come to an end in the church." And that's why Paul in verse number 15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Now, we know that Paul's not talking about literally going out and biting people. You know, he's not talking about that. He's talking about what's going on in the church when legalism comes in. See, Paul knew full well what would happen if legalism came into the church. Causes self-righteousness. Some people in their thinking are now elevated above others in their thinking. They get lifted up in pride. They get haughty. And this process would start with biting. It would move on to devouring. And finally, he knows that they would be consumed by one another, because Paul himself had bit. He was a Pharisee. He held to the strictest form of the law. And the Bible tells us that he breathed out threats against the church constantly. And he was constantly biting at the church. The Bible tells us that he dragged Christians out of their home and locked them in prisons and went and got letters from the Sanhedrin to go to Damascus. He was devouring the church. And it consumed Paul, and it consumed other people. And so he knew that the churches in Galatia, that if they continued in legalism, that they would start biting at each other, start with their words. Then it would move on to actions. They would start devouring one another. And finally, the church would be consumed. The Holy Spirit shows us the process of bondage and how it tears down and destroys others. I'll put this up on the overhead for you. You can write this down if you like, if you're taking notes. But biting words and devouring actions result in consumption of both parties. Let me say that again. Biting words and devouring actions result in consumption of both parties. Oftentimes when we feel like we're right, and we go after someone else with our words, or we go after someone else with our actions, we think that they're going to be consumed by them. But the Bible shows us that when we have a wrong heart motive, and when we're biting and devouring one another, that now not only are they consumed, but we also are consumed. Is the image that you get from the word is two dogs in a fight. And these two dogs are just nipping and biting at each other and chewing each other apart. And then they go off by themselves and they bleed to death. Both lose. And that's the image that we get in the church, is that if we continue to nip at one another, bite at each other, and then we start doing actions that devour one another, going off and making sure that this can't happen or that that person can't do this or that, then not only are they going to be consumed, but we also are going to be consumed. Consider these things that I'm about to say in biting and devouring. We, number one, break the great commandment of love. You cannot be in love and be biting and devouring other people. We also bring dishonor to Jesus. Jesus is not honored when we bite and devour one another. We grieve the Holy Spirit. The last thing we need in the church is for the Holy Spirit to back off. Amen? I mean, think about that for a second. If we're biting and devouring one another and the Holy Spirit backs off, what are we doing? We need the power of God. We need the grace of God. We also hinder the unsaved in coming to Jesus. I don't know how many times I've heard non-Christians say, "Why would I want to become a Christian? Somebody at my work is always talking smack. Somebody over here is just, I mean, they're just mean-spirited. You know, a Christian, I mean, they're just hypocrites." And the unsaved don't want to come into the kingdom of God because they see us biting and devouring one another. We hinder the unsaved from coming to Jesus. And as well, we hinder our own and others' spiritual progress. We cannot progress in Christ when we're biting and devouring other people. So, we have a warning from the Word of God. Beware, lest you be consumed by one another. Now, often when there's a warning in the Word of God, we find out how to handle the warning in the immediate text surrounding it. So let's go back to verse 13 and verse 14 and find out how to handle this warning of biting and devouring one another. Verse 13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This morning, we're going to find out how to use our liberty in love. See, all the law is fulfilled. These guys were trying to fulfill the law in their religious activities, but Paul says all the law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then comes the warning. But we can use our liberty in love and fulfill the law. A couple of things we're going to take a look at this morning, using our liberty in love. Are you ready? All right, I'm glad three of you are ready. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Amen. Using our liberty in love. Number one, loving words. Remember that the warning was coming that we were not to bite one another. And a bite is just when you have those snippy little words, those little comments, those little jabs from your mouth, things that come out of your mouth. You know, the Bible doesn't say for no reason that there's a sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus in the book of Revelation. And in the same way, we're made in the image of the Father, and we can use that sword to destroy other people, or we can use that sword to destroy the devil. Come on, somebody. Our words can hinder, or our words can heal. And we are to use our words in love. Our tongues should be loving other people all the time. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:15 that we are to speak the truth in love. A lot of times people say, "Well, I just said it there. It's the truth. There it is." And bam, they smack people with the truth. You know, they take their sword and they slap somebody with it. But we have not been called to use our tongues and to speak the truth and just smack people around. Abuse people, bite at people, nip at them. That's not how we're supposed to use our tongues. We are supposed to speak the truth in love. And so as you're talking, yeah, it may be true, but how are you telling it? Marriages, friendships, families, businesses have all been consumed just by words alone. Just by biting words. I have couples in my office all the time. I can't handle the way he speaks to me. I can't handle the way she speaks to me. I hear of people that say, "Yeah, I had a business. It was going great. And then the boss started talking. People started saying things. And it ripped us apart." Ministries, great ministries that have teamed up together. People have been going forward with God, doing dynamic things. And just by the words of their mouth, they tore apart the whole ministry. We have to be careful to speak the truth, yes, but in love. Let love be the motivating factor of every word that we speak. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 in the New International Version, I'll put it up on the overhead for you, says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword." There's that sword coming out of the mouth again. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. See, we're getting beat up all day by the words that are spoken all around us. Neighbors, coworkers, friends, people are biting us all the time. In the church, we should have tongues that bring healing to one another. We should have tongues that encourage one another, tongues that build up other people, tongues that strengthen people. Listen, if you're not speaking in love, then you have the right to remain silent. Because anything you say will be misquoted and then used against you. It's just the way it is. So just shut up. If I can say it plainly. If you're not speaking in love, you have no right to speak as a Christian. Ask yourself a couple questions before you speak. Number one, is it true? If it's not true, then it must be a lie. And so if it's not true, you don't know it's true, don't say it. Now, if it is true, second thing, is it confidential? Is it something that needs to be shared? Listen, not everything you know needs to come out of your mouth. So if it's true, is it confidential? Would somebody that's involved in this want that to be shared? Is it going to embarrass them? Is it going to expose them? Is it something? Is it not the right timing yet? Is it confidential? You know, God may speak something to you, and it's true, but it may not be the right timing yet. And so watch out if it's confidential. It may not need to be shared yet. Third thing is it kind? See, the Bible tells us to speak the truth in love. If you can say the truth, maybe it's plain, maybe everybody knows about it, and it is the truth, but the way that you said it was not kind. Hey, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And so we need to have these gates on our mouth that say, okay, is it true? Yeah. Is it confidential? No. But how am I going to say this? Is it kind? You know, a lot of times if we can just preface our words with, listen, I love you, and I want to speak something to you that's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult for you to hear, but listen, I love you, and that's my motivation for saying this. We would avoid a lot of foolish talk. We would avoid a lot of biting words. We'd avoid a lot of arguments and a lot of hurt feelings because, yeah, people may understand, wow, this is hard to hear, but they love me, and so I can accept it. And we can be safe with one another when we speak words of love to one another, using our liberty in love. First thing is loving words. Second thing this morning that will help us as we use our liberty in love is loving actions. You know, the process started with biting and went on to devouring. A lot of times when people speak biting words to one another, they'll just start there. That's just getting warmed up. Because the words of our mouth then produce actions in our life. And a lot of times when people get into an argument or start biting and nipping at each other, next thing you know, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to make sure that that doesn't happen. All of a sudden, there's this big wall put up and people then start being cold, start being mean, start being nasty to one another. And the words produce actions in people's lives. In the same way, our loving words should be followed by loving actions. I remember I went on missions for 4 years in a row and went all over Europe and went across the United States a couple times, went to Israel. And during these mission trips, we were gone for 3 months. And during those 3 months, we slept in tents. Okay? And we also rode on buses, you know, motor coaches and all that kind of stuff around Europe. And we went and preached the gospel in different little cities and squares and all that kind of stuff. And it was great. But you can imagine being on a bus and sleeping in tents with the same people week after week, night after night. You loved them, but man, it got tough sometimes. And there were certain people that just could get on your last nerve. You know what I'm talking about? Oh man, you know, 3 months in a tent with somebody, it's like, come on, somebody just slay me right now, you know? Put the tent peg through my temple because I'm just done. And so our team leaders would bring us together from time to time, and they encouraged us to do loving actions to people that you didn't really like. You know, they said, you know what, if you're having trouble with somebody, if you're not being loving to them, just start doing loving actions toward them. You know, maybe go and buy them a Coke or something like that, or get them a candy bar. Now, at that time, you know, as a young man, I really like Snicker bars, you know, the Snickers. So I decided, well, you know what, if I would do that to myself, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy some king-size Snickers bars. And if somebody starts just getting on my nerves, I'm going to go and just be loving to them and give them something that I would want. King-size Snickers. I'm going to give it to them. So I went out and I bought like 5 or 6 king-size Snickers bars. And, you know, during the course of the trip, man, so-and-so starts getting on my nerves. Oh, man, just grating. Ah! Okay, where's the Snickers, you know? Go back to my tent bag and get it to them. I go out and say, hey, you know what? I have an extra king-size Snickers bar. Do you want it? Wow, that's for me? Are you serious? Yeah, I love Snickers. Man, thanks. You know, before I didn't want to be around them at all. Now I can't get rid of them. They're like all over me. I'm like, what is this, God? You know, they're like, hey, can I hold your Pac-Man? Let's go, dude. Let's go do some witnessing. You talk and I'll pray for you. You know, and it's like, whoa, what's going on? After a while during the trip, people kind of caught on. And so anytime I had a Snicker bar in my hand, they're like, oh, who's he going to? You know, let's see what's going on. You don't like them? But seriously, if we can govern our actions and we can go and do loving actions, loving service, not just loving words, but now loving actions, it'll change the world you live in. Some of the people that just get on your nerves, all of a sudden situations will turn around. You know, clean up after somebody. One of the things that happened to us recently is somebody paid for our drink at Starbucks, me and my wife. And we were so blessed by it that we were like, man, that was so cool. That was so awesome. So last night we were at Cold Stone getting some ice cream. And we found some people in line that were from our church right behind us. And we were talking to them and striking up a conversation. Jess leans over and says, hey, let's pay for them. I was like, sweet, you know. So I handed the girl at the counter our card and I said, you know, hey, we want to pay for them too. And so the girl's like, sorry, sir, they're waiting. And I'm like, yeah, I'm paying for them. It's okay. I think they'll be okay to wait, you know. And so she's like, okay. So she hurries up and, you know, sign the slip and we say, bye. You know, we run out of the place and we're just kind of giggling on the inside, loving actions, you know. And the girl at the counter had asked me before I left, she said, you know, why are you doing this? I said, well, they go to our church and we just want to bless them. And all of a sudden, the girl at the counter got this massive smile on her face, like her whole countenance changed. And it blessed her too. When we love one another from the heart, when we do loving actions to each other, it changes the world that we live in. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verse 10 in the Darby translation says, love works no ill to its neighbor. Love, therefore, is the whole law. See, in the world, they work real hard at working ill. I know when I was in the world, I worked real hard at working ill. Some of us practiced that and perfected it. Mean and nasty little punks. But you know what? The Bible tells us that love works no ill. We are to work at loving one another, and that's why love is the whole law. So, using our liberty and love. Number one is loving words. Number two is loving actions. Number three this morning, are you ready for number three? This is the biggest one. Get a hold of this. Loving heart. Loving heart. See, we can have all the lip service in the world, and we can do nice things, and our heart can be off. Our heart can be wrong. And you know what? If you have to, you know, speak those words and do loving things and develop your heart, that's okay. But make sure that you develop your heart. Because we can fool ourselves with our words, we can fool ourselves with our actions, but you know what? No one's fooling God. God knows your heart. God knows where you're at. And it's only so long that you can have a wrong heart and wrong motivations before those things come out of you. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's out of your heart that you do what you do. And so it's very important for you and I to develop a heart that loves people, that goes and makes sure that people are taken care of, that's thinking about what you're going to speak before you say it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. I like how the NIV says it. It says, love one another deeply from the heart. This is not just something that we just speak to one another and then we do good actions and it's all fake. This is something that in sincerity and in truth, because we love the Lord from our heart, that we love one another from the heart. And we would hate to bite somebody. We would hate to devour somebody. We would hate to see churches consumed or people in the church consumed, because we love one another deeply from the heart. And you and I, if we can have a loving heart, then it will be displayed in our words and the actions will follow. Did you guys get something out of the word of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's so good. And that's why we get the warning from the book of Galatians that if we bite and devour one another, beware lest we're consumed by one another. But you know what? Along with that warning comes the way to handle it through love. Let's love one another deeply. Amen.